Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And now, it's time for the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. Here are your hosts and my supreme leaders, James Baldwin, Campy, and Freya Brolsma.
Do it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Lakeside Drive. And this is our Melbourne Grand Prix Saturday review, aka pre-drinks for the race, post-quali analysis, and general chit-chat about the days going on.
General chit-chat, that's what we're here for, Campy. We've been doing a lot of general chit-chatting, haven't
bit
we?
Bit of hoo-haring over the commentary box as well. So a bit of an in-joke there. We've given James some words to try and get into his on-track commentary. So, yeah, look, it's...
We had a moment today where you and I, we'll get to this story, but we did have a moment today where you and I were on the grid and... James was on the commentary and the loudspeaker, and that felt a bit bizarre, I think. I was like, oh, I think we've all taken this one step too far. What have we done? What have we done?
It's ironic that about 6 weeks ago I did a little video on the pits and said they'll never let me on track because I tell how it is. 6 weeks later, there we were. So,
and look, they may never let us back. No, no, no. It was a great experience. But we will get to that. Let's have a quick rewind and just think about our day yesterday. James did cover for us last night. We were both out having a great time in different places.
Been Formula Cold Ones 2.0.
Yeah, look, I think that would have been one step past. What's colder than cold?
Frozen ones.
Yeah, exactly. That wouldn't have been a great idea for anybody involved. Look, thinking about yesterday, the first thing we did once we made it through the gates was go and see Oscar Piastri at the Quadlock stand, having a bit of a chat to fans out there. They asked him some fascinating questions like, which is your favourite Tim Tams? Hot tip, anybody, if you have the chance to ask some F1 drivers your question, think of something really great other than what is your favourite Tim Tam, because we all know there is only one answer, which is an original. But I think the thing which struck me there, Campy, was just the time that these drivers are giving to the crowd and their fans. He stood out there for a solid half hour talking, answering questions, signing hats. What was your takeaway from that experience?
Yeah, look, it's part of their job these days to do that. I'm not sure what Oscar would look like in some of the other countries around the world, but definitely because he's an Aussie, he's giving a lot of his spare time over a weekend. Not that there's any spare time for these guys. And yep. Valtteri's the same over here, and Danny Ric too, just big commitments to the crowd. So, yeah, look, good interview, good for him. Jeez, it was a good one. He was interviewed by Tom Clarkson too.
Yes.
And it was probably the highlight of yesterday for me anyway. We got to spend 5 minutes with him. He graciously gave him his time, spending some time with his daughter while he's out here too. And, yeah, it was great. We just had a quick chat and super lovely guy, big smile, everything.
What was his advice to you, Campy, when it came to progressing your Formula One career?
Well, like I've always said this weekend, I'm just here for fun and because it's a hobby and, you know, Fro and James are definitely the professional people of this outfit. But I said, I'm going to do it on their coattails. And he said, you know what, my whole career has been a bit about that, but just smile and connect with people and ride on their coattails and you never know what opportunities come. So, yeah, look, great guy, super humble. Big smile and, yeah, just a real gentle character. It was good to see.
Absolutely. And like you said, they're spending some time in Australia after they are done in Victoria. They'll be heading up to Cairns. So please keep all of your poisonous jellyfish and various snakes and things away from Tom Clarkson and his daughter while they go and visit Queensland. That would be great. We then went a separate ways and I went and had a look at the main stage. I saw the interviews with Daniel Ricciardo and Yuki, and also the Williams drivers were there too. We'll get to that in a minute. And you went over to Supercars.
I did.
Which gave us a very special experience today. So tell us about that, Campy.
Well, there's a chap that works for Newlon, the brand, which we met last year. Great guy, Chris. Anyway, I just texted him on Thursday and said, are you around? Come for a beer. It was great to have meet you last year. And anyway, so I just texted him. He said, I'm not around at the Melbourne Grand Prix this weekend, but would you like to do a tour of the pits? So we teed that up for today, and it was excellent. So it was the premier Newlon race team. And, so I went and got to hang out with James Goldsmith and Tim Slade. Yep. And they gave me half an hour of their time, and I can assure you it was one of the best experiences that I've done doing this podcast. It was cracking. It was super knowledgeable guys as it is, but just to get up close and personal, just that tiny bit more than what the everyday fan gets to see. It was great. And from that, probably the best part and the most amazing part of our day today, post-qualifying of Grand Prix race, we got to do the grid walk for V8 Supercars. And it's the first time they've ever done it at the Melbourne Grand Prix, and they're only allowed one person per car on track. So me and Freya were
somebody decided that would be us.
So pretty amazing opportunities. We've got heaps of photos. I'm sure Freya is spamming you on all the socials with their photos. But geez, it was just a fantastic opportunity to get past the fences and just get a feel for what these drivers look like what they're looking at off the start line. It's funny, there was a crash at the start of the F2 race and it looked like it happened straight away, but in reality it was sort of 200 metres from the start.
Yeah.
And you just get you get that concept of size.
Yep.
And
all of things start setting in a little bit.
Yeah, it was a crazy thing. The V8s look amazing on track. TV don't do them justice. They got a really wide. They're really wide and low to the ground, but they give it that stance and those poke on the cars that we like. And geez, I'm very thrilled to be to have that opportunity this afternoon. It was great.
And they said that at their usual races they'll have like 50 people per car who are down on the grid with them. So it's hectic and there's a lot of herding cats. But to have the experience that we had today where actually it was only one person per car and that was you and I, ridiculously somehow that is what happened.
Yeah.
It was the most serene experience and you really did have this feeling of the calm before the storm when you know what's about to happen and what did then happen. Cam Waters is not going to be a happy man.
Yeah.
Just moments later. And I remember feeling the same thing in IndyCar in Nashville. We were able to do a grid walk there as well. When these guys are standing there kind of prepping for it and everything goes quiet and you have this feeling like they're about to go off to battle, like you have you can kind of all of a sudden the emotion of it is really there as well. And because of the hour of the day here as well, sun is gradually going into that kind of twilight, you know, dim light, and it's just
temperatures cooling off.
Yeah, it was just incredibly, your senses are all running wild at that point. So it's a very, kind of surreal experience. And yeah, I mean, what can I say? How's the serenity?
Serenity. Oh, a great opportunity. And big thanks to Hayley from the race team, the premier Newlawn race team. She was great. She was a great host. And she remarked to me, she's like, I just feel so quiet. I mean, she gets to do this every week, every race with, you know, with the 50 people on the grid. But it was just, she's like, oh, it's really quiet. It's not normal. This is a bit strange for me. Yeah, so, big shout out to her. It was excellent.
Well, strange for us too, Campy, but like you said, an exceptional experience, and thank you to those guys for organising it. We also saw on the main stage today, we went and had a look at the interviews that were happening with Ferrari as well as Mercedes, and poor K-Mag showed up by himself for us. Hulk wasn't there, which was a bit kind of bizarre for him, but then they had one of the Collingwood players there and he was punting some footballs out into the crowd. He went for the barrel, which was pretty funny. So that was
vodka Red Bulls before the Baz.
I think that's just you, Campy. In fact, and it shouldn't be you ever again. Anyway, we've also been very lucky to be experiencing the Oath Lounge on and off this weekend, which is great. So there with Oath, of course, which is Valtteri and Tiffany's gin company. James O'Brien very kindly helping us out there, which has been a wonderful experience. And we're meeting really interesting people, aren't we, Campy? You spoke to me and you said, you know, everyone you've spoken to so far is super fans.
Just as fanatical about this as we are, which is not what I expected some of those suites to be. But, I mean, it's not the most high-end suite of all time, but it's been a cracking experience, like right above the pitch straight, and we're up at the F2, F3 part of the pitch straight that they operate out of. But yeah, look, it's been, I'll tell you what, this event's been unbelievably fun. All right, let's talk about Formula One.
Yeah, okay, all right.
We've watched three practice sessions and a qualifying now.
Yep.
First takeaways, Freya. What?
Let's start with Danny Ric, I think. We've made the comment that it is through the low speed corners that he seems to be losing time to Yuki.
Yep.
It became very apparent during their free practice sessions yesterday in particular. And it's kind of that like 2-3 tenths off it seemed to be. But then today it came down to only a tenth, I think, before he had that lap deleted. Yeah. Exactly. So
devastating.
Absolutely minute kind of difference there, which was pretty encouraging because I did expect it to be a couple more on that. But to have that lap time deleted, I think we felt the entire kind of hit straight just have a collective sigh. It's pretty challenging. You know, we're working really hard, Tim, and bloody hell, Daniel, we want you to do so well.
Yeah.
Stop putting us through this.
Stop putting us through this. It's good we had Oscar to look forward to. And he's been on it all weekend, and I just like that last lap in quali. I'm not sure if he had a mistake or something, but it was certainly not the pace we'd expected from him all weekend. Yeah. So it was a bit of a shame, actually. But, hey, it's been an excellent atmosphere.
How impressed were you by Carlos?
Carlos. Jeez. What a return he's making.
What a return.
See, Carlos is this kind of driver that just has these weekends where he just makes Leclerc not second rate, because Leclerc is not second rate and he hasn't looked that way, but he has these weekends where he's just every time that, because everyone talks about Charles everywhere you go, on track commentary, you know, he's the number one Ferrari driver.
Yeah.
And then every time they've spoken about Charles this weekend, Carlos has come out and put a lap together that's, you know, exceeded any expectation of the fans. So, geez, they've got a quick car. A really quick car. And we were sitting down. Traditionally, I've loved sort of turn three. That's my favourite part of the track. But this year we spent a lot of time up in 11, 12, 13, 14 too, the penultimate corner. And I tell you what, on track the times don't, you know, at times during practice the times don't suggest that a car looks faster than what than where it is on the table, but that Red Bull just it looks faster than everything else, and it's not so much the entry speed or the corner speed, it is when they get on the accelerator and the torque, and you can see the power being applied through the rear and just how it takes off, and it just looks more planted. It looks faster in every place. So maybe they're sacrificing some top end speed in order to do that, but they're cornering. They are unbelievable to watch.
It was really noticeable on Friday when we saw the first free practice session, and we were sitting in grandstand there, and like you said, those last two corners, and it just doesn't have any of that hint of kind of what I call wiggle-ability.
I'm a steer.
Exactly. I prefer wiggle-ability. That is the word of the day on Friday. It's it looks like you said, it's so planted. They've got so much confidence in that car going into corners. It's very impressive. And it's something that was very obvious kind of, again, seeing them right in front of you in a way that you can't always see on the screen. It's very, very apparent. Let's talk about one of the other big news items over the last couple of days, which is Williams. So obviously we had Alex's incident, which caused so much damage to the chassis that they are not able to run without this weekend. And they do not have a third one here in Melbourne. So they had one left, which did belong to Logan Sargeant, until it didn't. And now it belongs to Alex Albon. What are your thoughts, Sir Campbellot?
Yeah, look, this could severely backfire if Albon bins it again tomorrow. But if he gets a point, and, you know, he showed some really good pace in qualifying compared to where they are. The top four spots on this grid are sewn up. So if you presume that those four cars, you know, finish where they should, you're really fighting for ninth and tenth. And the Astons should be taking those positions. But if something happens to one of those cars, it's going to be a car that, you know, they're fighting over 1 or 2 points, really. So Albon is capable of getting that done. So I think they've made, if it was me and you're running an organisation like this, they've made the right decision.
What do you think it says about the team, though, and Logan's position within it?
I think if the team already had points in the championship, it'd be very different. Because if you don't score points, you don't get your prize money. You know, so this is all about a sliding scale of money. 1 of the 2 points, particularly in this field, for the backfield markers, you know, the bottom 4 or 5 teams, points are could be the difference between 10 million and 45 million pounds. So from a sheerly financial perspective, it makes sense, and I probably would have made the same call before. In saying that, I don't like the sportsmanship of it.
It's the vibe of the thing, Campy. Yeah, you can't take a car off the person who is working really hard to not bin it and so far succeeding at that and give it to the person who has just binned it. So, like, I get what you're saying, and we can all agree that Albon is the faster driver when he hasn't put it into the wall, crashed here last year. And I think he's a fantastic driver. In this scenario, though, whilst it's an understandable position, I really don't agree with it. It's such a captain's call, which takes an opportunity away from somebody who is fighting for their seat in a way that Alex is not. And he's taking that opportunity away from him. That would be such a bitter pill to swallow. And what does it say about the team? It says we don't even trust our second driver to not bin it, even though the other one already has. Like, it's how he continues to drive there after this is going to be really hard. Would you even want to be there when this is the confidence vote they've given you?
Did we expect him to have a seat in this car this year anyway?
This year they didn't really have that many other options.
I think there's plenty of other options.
There is now.
There was last year too, but they just chose not to take them. So I get it. And I get we live in Australia, and to freight anything from the UK by the time you get it on and organised, it's probably a 24-hour process with flights and blah, blah, to charter it. But if this had been Mercedes, Red Bull, if this had been any other team, parts would have been on a plane, private, straight across, away you go, parts on the car. May have missed quality, who cares? They would have had two cars participating in the race. But it's not good for Sargeant, because I think what does he have to do to keep his – I don't think there's anything he can do. But the other thing I'll say is Sargeant's never out-qualified Albon ever.
No, but the thing is, I don't think the argument is whether he's a better driver or a faster driver. I think we all understand that. But you crashed, you sit out.
Yeah.
Like the idea that you crash and then we'll give somebody else a car so that you can keep going, to me, is not all right. And the thing is that when they've got these like moments of saying, you know, we're all going to do it for the team, this, that and the other, that in my view is not actually not a team move. I think it's absolute bullshit.
You're right. We're both right. We're both right. I like that comment. We're both right. Because it means as the prophet, I'm not wrong. I'm still right.
Can we talk about prophet status for a second?
Yeah.
So while we were pre-qualifying, they were running a sweep and we had to place bets on what we thought the pole position time would be. Campy, what was my predicted time?
115.937. So you missed out by 27 one-thousandths of a second.
Thank you very much. Now, somehow somebody else in that lounge actually got it even closer than I did. But I'm just going to say I think it's only appropriate that I take on the prophet captaincy.
I was pretty close too. I did it 115.85, so 857. So yeah. I was a few more behind you, but still bloody close.
I think we did very well. I'm just saying, can we predict well? How is it that we can predict things like this so close and yet we can't even get a podium right?
I think what we got right is that we got in the 115s, which is astronomical. Max set a time in – sorry, someone set a time in P3 today that better, you know, the fastest time in race – lap record for Melbourne. And interestingly enough, the time that was set for pole today made – the Melbourne track faster than Spa in the sense of top speed around the
incredible. What did they say? Over 250.
Yeah, 258 kilometers average speed. So it's, I can't remember what it was. It might not be 258. It was incredible. So
yeah, you talk about having a great track and be able to say that.
Yeah,
is pretty amazing. Yeah.
So the changes they've made have worked.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
It's funny. I've just thoroughly enjoyed this whole event. We've been every day and we've soaked everything up. I just want a good race.
Yep.
I want the Aussies to do well. I want Danny Rick to come through the field. Heard from Paul Stoddard today on an interview. He used to be the Minardi manager when Mark Webber made his debut and told that story to the crowd. And I want a story like that tomorrow. So whether it be Oscar or Daniel, I'm not care at this point. It's the atmosphere's been great. I don't think whatever happens tomorrow will really matter. The atmosphere and the party and everything that we got to do has been incredible thus far. So Lewis missed Q3, which is exciting. You know, Yuki got into Q3, which sucks for us. But I think there'll be some incidents. Hope we get a bit of rain. It rained this morning.
No, don't rain because that whole place will turn into a mud pit.
I'm not talking rain. I want just enough rain.
I want rain, and just enough, but not rain. I want rain, but not rain.
I want like a heavy downpour. I want like
a light spattering.
Yeah, so that cars are forced to come into the pits and change. So it just adds another layer of jeopardy. That's what
jeopardy.
I want.
Jeopardy.
And Max will probably win.
Yeah.
But Checo was a bit off today.
He was a little bit. So I think we're going to have a really interesting battle, hopefully, between Sainz, Piastri and Max. Yes. All goes to plan. It's going to be very interesting.
Chaotic turn one. I think there's going to be chaos at turn one tomorrow. I would very much hope there's chaos in here.
Yeah. Well, if the support categories are anything to go by, we should be in luck for that, I think. All right, we will be back probably not tomorrow evening. We'll be back with our race review, which we haven't decided when we recorded yet. I think that will either come out tomorrow night or Wednesday or Monday.
Yeah.
I don't even know what words are, what days it is anymore. But James will help us put that together. The three of us will be back for our next episode. In the meantime, make sure you're following along on Discord, on Instagram, Lakeside Drive. That's where you'll find all of our photos from the weekend. And as we've said, is there anything you want to see? If there's anything you want us to go and experience and kind of report back, that is a thing that we can do. We're really keen to bring you with us on this weekend experience as much as we can, listener. It's been so great to interact with some of you on Instagram.
We've met about five or six of you too, so big shout out. Do come and say, like, I'm not as scary as what I may appear to be.
As long as your beanie's on, it's all right. Shit gets real when the beanie comes off.
Yeah.
Alrighty, anyway. Until next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.